The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota. This is the worship service from Sunday, Christmas Day, December 25th, and is sponsored by Denise Smisek.
Thank you. through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, who lives and reigns with you, Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace and brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his servants flames of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up. And like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The light shines in the darkness,
and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlivens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now, I know we don't have a lot of children here, but those who are here, if you'd like to come forward, I would share a word with you. Than Luke, which is a narrative, a story, or a church story. Honestly, we don't have to set the Luke story aside, even as you listen and reflect with me over the next few minutes. Those images will probably still remain alive for you. We don't have to choose all of those characters, those wonderful characters, those smells and the cool air of the night are with us. John just gives us more to consider. John is not, it's not a choice between John and Luke. John just gives us more to add to the story. Maybe John is the seasoning to this story. We refer to these first verses of John's Gospel for Christmas as the prologue. The word prologue comes from a Latin word. It simply means first words. So the first 18 verses of John's Gospel are a prologue. They're the first words, kind of set the tone for the rest of what comes after. And the first thing John does is to refashion the words of creation from Genesis for the early church. In the beginning. But here, creation includes the Logos. The Logos, the Word, Jesus, is present from the beginning. John wants us to know that Jesus has always been a part of God and God's creative activity in the world. Another thing that John does is to announce that the Word is coming into the world now for the first time as flesh. To dwell. Now that sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? The Word made flesh. The word dwell, however, does not quite capture the fullness of its meaning. A more literal translation is that the Word became flesh and pitched its tent with us. Pitched its tent. That's the literal meaning of dwell from the Greek. Eugene Peterson, I was just discussing Eugene Peterson with someone earlier today. Eugene Peterson translates this verse, "The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. In Jesus, God makes God's home with us wherever we are. The relationship is forever changed as the fullness of God is revealed in Jesus, and as the Word moves into the neighborhood, wherever we are, and to the ends of the earth. And then there is the image that John uses of light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There are two things that happen with light, at least two. First, the light disrupts. The light exposes. The light allows us to see what's really there. The light is what allows us to tell the truth about ourselves and about the world. Literally, if you turn the light on in a rat-infested room, the rats will go scurrying into the darkness. The light. Yes, the light of Christ itself exposes brokenness and injustice. The light of the MRI or the CT scan, may expose our greatest fears. We cannot live without the light, but there are so many times we'd rather remain in the dark. The light allows us to see our reflection in the mirror. Yes, the light exposes, disrupts, even hurts. But often it's the first step toward healing and new life. You see, the light of John's prologue has an intimate relationship with the truth of the cross. Jesus, the Word, crucified, like the light, exposes the extent of our human brokenness and the distance to which the enfleshed God, Jesus made flesh, is willing to go to bring us back to heal the broken creation. The thing about darkness and the light is that the light has the capacity to change the characteristic of the darkness. That's what I was talking about with the kids. And darkness by itself cannot snuff out the light. Not ever. Darkness has power, but not that much power. As long as there is light, any light, as long as there is light, there is hope. And the promise is that the light has come. The light has come in Jesus, and it cannot be taken away. It would be preferable, of course, if the light would remove all forms of darkness from the face of the earth. But that is not the nature of God's promise. God does not promise that we will become immune to the darkness, only that the light of Christ will always be present. And even darkness gets a bad rap. Barbara Brown Taylor says that God dwells in deep darkness. God comes to people in dark clouds, dark nights, dark dreams, and dark strangers in ways that sometimes scare them half to death, but always, almost always for their good, or at least for their renovation. God does some of God's best work in the dark. So the light represents the presence of God, the presence of Christ. The light is the beacon that reminds us to be hopeful, that reminds us that there is more. There is more to the story. There is more to the story of our lives and the story of the world. Christ gives birth not only to Jesus, but to more hope for the world. The ministry of Jesus will clarify, make clear by the light, God's desire that all people are included. Not just some, but all. The mission of God is expanded in Jesus, not contracted. Expanded. Becomes more open, more accessible. All are welcome. Something I know that is important to this kind. The ultimate more, of course, is that there is more to the story than the cross. The resurrection is also more. Jesus, the firstborn of creation, becomes the new creation for us. In Christmas, God gives birth to the eternal more. More. So once more, these words. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness does not overcome it. Amen. So we should sing some more hymns, more carols. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Peace,
Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.